I'm always so blessed by your music, by the worship that your church has. It's a blessing to hear the voices in the back, behind, and a blessing that there's going to come a day when 10,000 upon 10,000 of us are singing the same song to the Lord in heaven, and I kind of look forward to that. By the way, you may know or you may not know, I've been expecting a grandbaby. I have a grandbaby. So we all were playing with fireworks and throwing things and blowing up things and all that. My daughter was doing the same. Mason Kendall Alders came into the world on July 4th at 10:30 in the evening. And mom and baby are doing great. And for those who enjoy the details, he's 8 pounds, 9 ounces. So nice big baby. 21 inches long. So he's really, he's adorable. I got to hold him for a little while and then came back home. I left my wife again. She's been gone for 2 weeks. I've been all by my lonesome for 2 weeks. Me and my son have been just doing the bachelor thing and well, it's interesting, though, see, because when my wife's away, I do play. I fix everything. See, when she's here, I can't fix anything because I want to spend time with her. But she's not here. I don't have anything else to do. So all the cabinets got painted, the kitchen got painted, the ceiling got painted, the backyard, the patio got painted. I'm just into paint. But anyway, it's been one of those times. So I hope the Lord blesses you with the message this morning. It's out of Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Is where we start, but it's a great question. This question this young man asks is a great question, and I love that he asked this question. But it doesn't end well. And there's a disappointment in this story as you go along and read and listen to what Jesus says here. In verse 16 of Matthew chapter 19, a young man has come up to Christ, and that young man is, you know, he's not described much until the end. But in the beginning, he comes to Jesus and he says these words to Christ. Matthew 19, 16. A man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Isn't that a great question? You ever have anybody come up to you and ask that question? That's never actually happened to me. Nobody's actually come up to me and asked this question. They've not come up to me and sought me out and said, "Hey, how do I get eternal life?" And the man is an interesting man in that he asked this question. And we'll talk a little bit more about the question. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, this question, in essence, gets asked by a lot of people. Do you know that black people ask this question? White people ask this question. Chinese people ask this question. Koreans ask this question. Rich people ask this question. Poor people ask this question. Sad people ask this question. And even happy people ask this question. It's not just one guy who asks this question. This question's asked by a lot of people. Now, it's asked in different ways, and it's asked to different people, but almost everybody goes through a time period in their life where they begin to search for, in essence, their maker. They begin to get to that place where they go, "Okay, is this all there is? Is this all there is in the world? Is this all that I get to deal with? Is just what's going on in my life all that there is?" Now, when you're young, there's so much to see that it's not that big a deal. You don't ask this question a ton when you're young. But the older you get, you begin to recognize, hey, I've seen that before. I don't ride rides at Magic Mountain anymore. Do you know why? I've been on them all. There's a ride leaving now. Was it Colossus? Colossus is 38 years old. I'm actually older than Colossus. I've been on Colossus. I get on it. It's a roller coaster. It's not that big a deal to me anymore. I get on that thing, that Goliath thing. That's really cool. I love Goliath. Okay? But I've been on it. It's not as big a thrill for me anymore. Okay? I guess I need to go jump out of a plane or something to get that extra thrill that I need, you know? But the older you get, the more you've seen. I saw my babies be born. This weekend, I got to see my grandbaby be born. But I'm still wondering about heaven. There's so much about heaven that I don't have settled in my mind about what's going on. And there's some guys that I want to ask some questions about when I get to heaven. I want to ask Noah some questions about the boat. Okay? When I get there, I got some questions I want to ask about the boat. Okay? I want to know, when Abraham was left his land, I want to talk to him about what it was like and why he went to where he went and those kind of questions. When the father offered his son as a sacrifice, I want to know what was going on in his mind. I want to ask those questions. I want to talk to Jesus. This young man gets to talk to Jesus. Now, I will tell you the question, how do you inherit eternal life, has been asked of a lot of people. Okay, it gets asked of spiritual people. It gets asked of Christians. It gets asked of Mormons. It gets asked of Buddhists. It gets asked of atheists. It gets asked of agnostics. It gets asked by intellectuals, priests, pastors, and spiritual leaders. That question gets asked to a lot of people. But this is the only time in recorded history that this question got asked of God. Jesus gets asked the question, "What do I do to get eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." Now, Jesus picks on one word the guy said. The word was good. Why does he pick on that word? Why does he stop all this conversation? The young man wants to know how to get to eternal life. He wants to know how to get to heaven. He wants to know how to get to that spiritual end. But Jesus stops him and in essence says, "What is this good thing about?" And he hits the nail on the head because there are a lot of ways we use good. It's good to have a new grandbaby. Went to Panda Express last night. That was good. Okay. I enjoyed the ride home with my children. It was a good ride. I was asked by California Baptist University to teach algebra classes. That was good. This word is a lot bigger than that. And Jesus really says it, that it's a lot bigger. Because what Jesus says is, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only, how much good? One." It's not about what you eat. It's not about what happens in your life. It's about one who is good. It's about Jesus. And he puts the seed down right here. He says, "Okay, I got the picture that you want to do something that is good. I got the picture that I want you to think that you're doing really good. I want you to get that picture in your mind that everything you do is good." But Jesus says, there's only one who is good. This is a big word. And it means a lot towards the end of this. But Jesus stops him right here and says, take a look at what you mean by good and what you truly mean by good and what God means by good, because they're not the same things. They're not exactly the same way. I will tell you that the person who asks this kind of question and asks this of Jesus, this is the kind of guy that says, okay, if I do this, 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 and this, I get that. I'm that way. I really am that way. I make a list, okay? Okay, if I do this, this, and this, and this, and this, my wife will be happy. Okay? If I do this, 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 and this, my students will learn what they need to learn on this subject. If I do this, this, and this, my car will stay running. And if I do those things, it's quote-unquote good. And that's where he was living. He was living in this place where if I do this, this, and this, I will be good. And Jesus tells him, there's only one who is good. There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Now, I need to remind you of something here that you already know. Jesus is past, present, and future. Jesus knew this young man before he was born. In the womb, he knew him. Jesus knew him. Jesus has known him all of his life. He's known everywhere he was going. He knew that he was going to have this conversation with this young man today. He knew this young man was going to come up to him and say, hey, I need to know how to get eternal life. He knew that was going to happen. And he knows what's going to happen in this young man's future. So he has this past, present, and future ability within his conversation. So he talks to him in this way. He knew that the young man had done certain things. So he says to the young man, you need to keep the commandments. You need to keep the commandments. And he says, which ones? You know, my immediate response is, all of them. Just keep them all. You'll be just fine, right? Because he's got that list thing going. If I do this, 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 I get that. I'm looking forward to heaven, and if I do this, and I got that, and he's been going through the list, he's looking at the list, he's got them all, and he's going, okay. But there's still this question in his mind. So he asked Jesus, which ones? What amazes me about Jesus' answer, he doesn't say anything about the top four. Okay? He doesn't say, don't use the Lord's name. He didn't say anything about that. He didn't say anything about keep the Sabbath. The top four, the big ones, you know, the ones with God, he doesn't say that. I'm kind of going, well, isn't that the important ones? Jesus says, do not murder. Yeah. Do not commit adultery. And the young man's going, well, I ain't killed anybody yet. But it's the people I'd like to kill, but I haven't killed any of them yet. Do not commit adultery. Good, I'm good there. Do not steal. Maybe. Do not give false testimony. We're all in trouble there. Okay? Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbors yourself. The young man says this. Okay? I have kept these, the young man said. What do I still lack? Okay, so he hasn't killed anybody. He hasn't committed adultery. He doesn't steal. Does he feel like he's made it? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's lived a good life, right? We're talking about a guy who hasn't done these things that, I mean, all of us have gotten in the place where we stole something, okay? Think about it. Remember that pencil? Do you remember that pencil? Okay? You walked to the bank, you went and put all the money down, you wrote out the thing, and you put the pen in your pocket, you walked out. You didn't mean to, but you took it anyway. Did you go back with it? No. Okay? Taxes. You were doing your taxes, and you're going, I got that money for this. They'll never know. There's a lot of ways. And false testimony and lying, I mean, lying is something that's gone on in our society for a long time, okay? Here's the classic thing, okay? You're sitting at home. You're supposed to be somewhere. Phone rings. Okay? You ignore it. You're lying. You heard it. You heard it. I'm telling you, you heard it. Because when you see them, what are they going to say? Did you get my phone call? You should, no, I didn't hear the phone. Or you get the phone, you pick it up, and you go, I'm in the car, I'm on my way. You haven't left home yet. Southern California, so this is the way it is. It's just, okay, and you can always blame traffic. I don't care if you went out at 2 o'clock in the morning. You went out at 2 o'clock. It was just traffic. Everybody, we all do it, okay? But this young man hasn't, he's been a good guy. He's done all these things, right? He's done all the things right. He's a righteous man. If somebody comes up to him and compares him to me, I'm going, wow, I gotta look up to you. Okay? Because he's that kind of guy. When you see him out there, he's that kind of man. He's doing the right things all the time. And yet, he feels like he hasn't done enough. Every set of rules always puts us in that place. Every set of you got to do this, always puts us in this place of wanting more because we're not quite sure if we've made it. And the key problem is, God is the only one that can really tell us if we've made it or not. I mean, you got to ask God. So he's asking the right guy the question. And Jesus tells him it's bigger. In 21, Jesus says this, if you want to be perfect, do you think he wants to be perfect? That's why he's here. He wants to be perfect. He wants to hit this nail right on the head. He wants to do exactly what he's supposed to be doing. That's why he's here. Well, since he wants to be perfect, Jesus says, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, is that a commandment? Is there some commandment in Scripture? If you go back in the Old Testament, are you going to find, okay, you got to sell everything you have and give it to the poor, otherwise you don't get to heaven? Is it there? It's not there. So where's this coming from? Jesus knows this young man. Before he got here, he knew him. Before he touched him and talked to him, he knew him. He knew that he had great wealth. And he knew that everything in him is about making sure that his money stays good. His heart is with his money. He still wants to go to heaven. Still wants to get to that place in the sky. But if you ask him to do something between him and money, between God and money, who wins? Money wins. Jesus is cut right to the heart of this young man, right to where he lives, right to the place where he is at that day. And that day he is at this place where I have great wealth. I could do whatever I want. I can be whatever I want. I can go buy that Challenger. I can buy that Ferrari. I can go get a house in Malibu. I can do whatever I want because I have great wealth. I've got all this. But I don't have heaven and I'm not sure how to get it. I've done everything they tell me to do. And Jesus says, take that peace, that security blanket you have, that thing that says I can always get whatever I need, and I want you to get rid of it. I want you to give all of that to the poor, and I want you to lose your dependence upon that thing. If God asks you to do that today, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take the job you currently have and leave that job and go do whatever God asks you to do? Are you willing to not go to this particular place that you're planning on going and do what God asks you to do? Are you willing? This is the hardest question that pastors ask of themselves all the time. I got this question that I have to deal with. I am a teacher with LAUSD. I get paid a good wage with LAUSD. In 12 years, I could retire. I can quit, and they'll give me money for the rest of my life. How cool is that? Okay, and we're not talking little pocket change. We're talking they're going to give me $3,500 a month for the rest of my life. Would I be willing to walk away from that if God asked me to do something else? See, that's the question. That's the question the young man has been asked by the Lord right now. Then he says, follow me. get rid of everything you depend upon in this world. Get rid of it all. Put it away, put it aside, stop depending upon it, stop figuring out what the rules are, put everything there away. And then follow me. And there's this process. See, because when you come to Jesus, when you invite Jesus into your heart, when you make him Lord and Savior of your life, you're supposed to lay everything else aside. See, and one of the things that happens is, as Christians, and for those of you who have been Christians for a long time, you've known Jesus for a long time, you got to get back to living eventually. Okay? You got to get back to doing what you need to do on a regular basis. I have four children. We know that one gave birth this week. We have one in Highland who was with me this weekend. I have a daughter at New York University, and I have a son who is attending Westchester High School over here and playing lacrosse. Well, they all have expectations on me, right? My daughter needs $7,000 to go to school this year. Do you think she's going to just... It's got to come from somewhere, right? If I don't make $7,000 this year, does she go to NYU? Who do you think's in trouble? My son wants to play lacrosse. He wants to have some of those shoes on his feet, you know, those cleat things. And my wife wants him to have those cleat things that are a different color so she can recognize my son on the field. Okay? If I don't work, I don't get those things. So there's this place. It's a tough place. It's always a tough place. When you have a responsibility and you have to work and when you have to do this or you have to do that. But God wants us to get to the place where we understand that our number one responsibility is to him. And to do the things that he asks us to do in this process is really, really significantly important. Following Jesus is an interesting road. I mean, I'm a doer. I give me a list and I'll take care of it. But sometimes it's not about doing the list. Mary and Martha were at home, right? Mary and Martha were bringing people in, and Jesus was there, and Jesus was teaching. And I can't remember which lady got upset, but one of them wasn't happy because one of them wasn't in the kitchen. And Jesus said, this is better, just to hear what I have to say. We'll worry about dinner later. And sometimes we have to worry about dinner a little later and make sure that we're following Jesus. Make sure that we're on track with Christ. When the young man heard this, he went away. How did he go away? He's overjoyed. I know how to get to heaven. I know what to do, right? He's thrilled. This is going to be great. I'm going home. I'm getting rid of everything I own, and I'm going to follow this guy for the rest of my life. Is that what happened? Didn't happen, did it? He got the answer he wanted. He asked the right guy the question. He asked God himself the question. God gave him the answer, and he went, went away sad. The only reason he went away sad is because he was not willing to do what God himself had asked him to do. What God had asked him to do was to give up that security blanket and follow Christ. The disciples gave up everything, didn't they? Walked away from their nets on the beach, walked away from the tax collecting booth, walked away from all those things just to follow Christ. That's what this young man had to do. Now, Jesus says some things here that we should hear and understand, because it's hard for the folks around us. Jesus said to the disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a what man? Rich man. It's hard for a rich man. It's hard for one who has a lot. When you talk to people around here who have a lot, it's tough for them. Okay, and we live in a community of people who have a lot. Okay, if you go north of Wilshire, and that's those classic words, right? North of Wilshire. Okay, go north of Wilshire. Go a little farther, go north in Malibu, see what happens. Ask any one of them this question. If you know that you could go to heaven if you just gave it away, would they be willing? Would they be willing to give it all away? It's a hard deal. It's hard to get rid of something that makes you so secure in life. It's and what I mean by so secure is you don't worry about what you're going to eat. You don't worry about where you're going to sleep. You don't worry about what you're going to do. You do whatever you want. It's hard to set that aside. It's hard to let that go. It's hard to be at the place where hey, I'm just going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God asks. And the rich have a tougher time with this than the poor. You know, I don't have much money in my pocket. I don't even think I have any money in my pocket. I got $6. I'm not worried about being mugged today. Here you go. Okay, I don't have a ton of money that's on me ever. I don't have a ton that I'm afraid of losing. Go to my house. Take anything you want. I mean, there's some things in there I really like. My wife and I got china. We celebrate our 25th anniversary this year. Yay. Next month. I'm really excited about it. But we have this beautiful china we were given on our wedding day. We've never used it. Spent $3,000, this is 25 years ago, my family, and everybody bought some, okay? They bought $3,000 worth of china. They gave it to us. We never used it. We always pull the plates out of the, you know, those cheap ones. That's the only thing in my house that I'd probably be disappointed to lose just because of the nature of the gift and why it was given. But everything else that you could take, I don't care. I was... I don't know if you've ever played the lottery, but they had, every once in a while, they had those really, really big lottery things. I actually put thought into this one day. Okay, what would happen if I won this? Okay, here's your classic thing. I could rebuild the church. Okay, matter of fact, I could rebuild four of them. Wait, a whole lot of them. I could do them everywhere. Okay, then I got farther along in that conversation. I can take care of my parents. I can pay for their house. I can pay for my house. I can pay for my this. I can do that. My kids can go to college. And they go, well, wait a minute. You put that much money in your hands, and you can't be who you were. I mean, I have no fear of losing anything now. But if you have all of it, doesn't all that fear creep in? You know, and here's where I ended up at, just so you know where I ended up with. I said, I would be so afraid to lose my child if somebody knew I had so much money that they took my child to get my money. And I didn't care less about the money. But worried about my child if I had a lot of money, that's a big deal. For most of us, we don't have a lot. It's not a big, big burden for us. So the question is, where do we play in this story? Some of you may not have come to the place where you feel like you've figured out heaven. Okay, you may not have figured out the place where you come to heaven. But Jesus tells you. He does. He says, take that security blanket, whatever it is, whatever's keeping you from being wholeheartedly sold out to God, and set it aside. He didn't say come back. Job was rich, right? Job lost it all, right? Did Job get it back? So God's not talking about not... I sincerely think that God would actually put money back in this guy's hands, but he has to choose. And all of us have to come to that place where we choose God over everything else. That's the question that we have to set in our heart. See, once we set aside the security blanket, whatever it is, be it a relationship, be it money, be whatever it is, set it aside and follow Jesus. Follow Him. For those of us who have never come to Jesus, that's it. For those of us who have been asking this question, how do I get eternal life? That's the answer. And the answer is, Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need to be saved. I know that You sent Jesus to this earth, and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And Father, I set aside everything in my life, and I will follow Him for the rest of my life. And I pray that in Jesus' name. For the rest of us who come to Jesus, we know Jesus. Jesus is in our heart. We're supposed to be the one they ask. What's your answer? When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you've been going to church. Why do you do that church thing? You know, you're going Friday night to that thing over there. What are you doing to that? You got that bumper? What's that bumper sticker say on your car? Oh, you got one of those pins that says, ask me about God. What are you answering? Are you ready to give an answer for the faith that lies within you? Are you ready to share the most important words with somebody who needs to hear those most important words? Are you not afraid to share those things? Jesus told this man the thing he did not want to hear. You might need to tell someone the things they don't want to hear. I hope that they don't walk away sad. I hope that they walk away glad. I hope that they invite Jesus into their heart, make Him Lord and Savior of their life. Verse 23 said, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus answers in such a way that gives us all wonderful encouragement. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You can't get there by following a set of rules. But you can get there by following Jesus. The rules are great. I mean, it's good not to kill people. Okay? It's good not to steal. It's good not to commit adultery. It's good not to do those things in your life. But it's greater to follow Jesus. Enough said. Blessings to you. Pastor Rob brings us the Lord's Supper.